Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Rants into the Heavens. Haven't done this in a while, but hey, we're gonna talk about some things. So, like I said, the first thing I want to talk about has to do with, of course, that game that we were playing, Milfy City. Milfy City was, at the time, one of the biggest games in the adult visual novel market. It was very popular, and it was supposed to be like a version of Man of the House that was open, just open world. And even though we can look at, like, Lust Theory and see that Lust Theory's kind of done that as well, but to a larger extent, Milfy City had some promise, you know? And, it basically got abandoned. Okay? So, I'm reading the reviews on Steam, and like I said, like, people were fucking pissed. People were absolutely pissed at what happened. And I don't blame them. If you've spent all this time and money into these character stories, erotic or not, you're gonna be pretty pissed when nothing wraps up and the dev's like, okay, I'm done, next game, and doesn't even finish what he did. That's like spending 5 years, and it probably didn't even need to take 5 years to make that shit, because I know games that have had maybe about 2 to 3 years completion. But it didn't take 5 years to make all that. It just, they were holding it out. They were literally doing the bullshit, and that is something I do want to talk about. Unfortunately, there are devs in the AVN world that 100% are doing fuck shit, okay? And we gotta talk about it. So, first of all, the Milfy City dev, he decided, hey, give me your money, I'll make this game. And people put their faith in him, and they gave him their money, and he did not produce the game. This is a problem. This is a real big problem. I'm actually going to mention this in a later article on FUA. But basically, guys, hey, these developers need to be on the, they need to be on the hook for what they do. They need to be like, hey, well, the Patreon needs to tell them, hey, look, if you're going to make this computer game, then you have to be on the hook for this computer game. People are paying you their money in the faith that you're going to create this computer game. This isn't Kickstarter. You know, Kickstarter, they already tell you that, hey, your money could be just completely thrown in the garbage. Patreon doesn't do that. Patreon, you're supporting a project. But the thing is, I think the project should be completed. And if the project isn't completed, then there's an issue. Because I spent, I don't know how much money every month to pay for a game that I didn't get. So I'd be pretty upset. Right now, my money's been spent well. I am getting Being a Dick Episode 10. He's working hard on it. It's going to be great. Definitely worth the money I pay for it monthly. I am getting City of Broken Dreamers, the final episode of that. It's going to be great. I finally get to see how he wants to end it. And he wants to end it with a bang. He wants to have a lot of, you know, spicy scenes and stuff. You know, it's the last time you're going to see those characters, so you do want to get nice and intimate with them, maybe in the after game or stuff like that. And that's fine. That's cool. That's how Depraved Awakening was. We saw that. So that's cool. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. But again, I'm paying for that, and I've got no problem giving him $5 a month, right? I mean, he's cool on that, and I'm not the one, I'm not giving him the most money by any means, but I'm giving him what I can afford, and I'm giving Pink Cake what I can afford, you know, so that I get the latest version of the game. And of course, you know, Fresh Women, we talked about that. That's going to be on December the 15th, and definitely want to get through that. And they got that $18 pass. I talked about that lifetime pass, so that's something I'm definitely into as well. Now, these devs we can trust. The problem is, we don't know what devs we can trust. And that is really fucked up. And unfortunately, it's part of the Wild West of adult visual novels. In, I mean, we don't know. Right now, there's a game called Sunset Riders or some shit. I don't know. It's not Sun Rider, but it's Sunset Riders. Basically, one of the writers and Fuwa Novel was telling me he played it. And I looked it up, and it said it was a long time ago I played it. And I looked, and the game's still not even finished. It's on 0.82, and that's the Patreon version. The itch version is like 7.6. So I'm like, damn, okay, this game's been... They've been working on this one forever. And it really is a lot... Well, I don't want to say, because I haven't really played it, but from what I can see, it seems to take a lot from that Love and Sex and Summertime Saga. It seems to take a lot from those games. But it has its dual battle system and all that. There's another one called... what is that? It's another battle type game, and apparently it's supposed to be very good as well. I haven't played it yet on the channel, but I think I will, because it's got a lot of popular press already, and it wouldn't be bad if it got some more, especially if it'll encourage you guys to kind of buy it. The game is not completely finished, but there's more than enough to do, and that's another sign of a good dev, you know? A dev that's like, hey, the game's not finished, but I've given you a lot of content anyway. Oh, and I got some updates on Lust Theory Part 2, which we're not even on yet, but apparently there was an issue because one of the voice actresses retired. It wasn't that she quit. There was a lot of, you know, rumor mill going along. She didn't quit because she was upset. She quit because she retired from voice acting. She didn't want to do it anymore. So, basically, they have found some people to fill in for her. And while it may not be the same, it's going to be as good as they can do, you know? I mean, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. It is like that for all forms of media, whether it's adult or not. I mean, we've seen a lot of people get replaced, and sometimes it's not so bad. So, I'm hoping that their new voice actress will be really good and can, I'm sure she can. Like, but he says that as soon as they get that done, then Lust Theory 2 will be completely finished. Now, I don't own Lust Theory 2. Reason why, so I haven't finished the first one. Guys, it'll take us forever before we finish the first one, right? But the second one, I've been told, is absolutely massive. It is a very, very big game. It is a thing that basically, Milfy City wanted to be, right? Because Milfy City was supposed to be a man of the house that was open world, and Lust Theory 1 did that same kind of thing, but now Lust Theory 2 is taking the Milfy City formula even further. And of course, Milfy City doesn't have the voice acting, and we really, I can tell you guys, really love the voice acting for Lust Theory. So, of course, Lust Theory 2 is going to have it. And, of course, you have a narrator, but I don't think your main character is voiced yet. Now, they've asked if people want that, and I personally don't. But I probably will be able to take his voice off if I don't. Now, I know that there is a voice character in bits and pieces as far as Fetish Locator goes, but that's fine because it's just subtle nods. It's like, huh, okay, ha ha ha. Like, that's not a big deal. I don't mind that. But if it gets to the point where it's like with Discipline, where the main character is saying his line and then I have to say it, it's not going to make sense if he says it in English and then I say it in English, right? And it's also going to kind of take me out of it. So it would probably be better for me to just, you know, no offense to the male voice actor, but I'd prefer to do it with my own voice. Like, that's just how we've done it. I mean, the other girls will still be voiced, and if there's a narrator, we'll have him voiced. But other than, or her, whatever, because of course, you know, Summer with Mia has a female narrator. I've got no problem with that. But I like to have my own voice, you know, in these games. So I'm going to continue to do that. And I don't think anybody has a problem with that. Not everybody can afford voice actors. The ones that can, you know, the bigger studios, that's on them. But yeah, that's not even what we're really talking about. That's part of it. But that's not really what we're talking about, because I've got some issues here, And we're not going to go into names. We're not going to start shaming people and start drama. But we are going to talk about what happened. So I was in a server. You know, I was in Fuwa's server. And I was basically having a not very heated, but I was irritated, okay? Because this is a guy that has had a lot of experience working with visual novels, mainly in the Japanese variety. You know, the Japanese visual novels. That's absolutely fine. The Eroge. Got no problem with that. No problem at all. None whatsoever. However, the problem came when he started really harping on the AVN department. He says, just in a very frantic. I mean, this is a grown man we're talking about, folks. I do want you to realize this. This grown man says all these AVN creators, they steal these assets. There's a big problem with that. They're stealing and pirating these assets, which if you're an AVN creator, developer, or just a fan and you're listening to this, this is probably going to upset you a little bit, right? Because you might be like, well, I don't like the fact that they're pirating that. Or you may like, man, I don't like the fact that they're portraying me this way. Because I've never pirated any of my assets. I've bought everything, or I've had it made myself, or, you know, some other situation. I've never pirated something that makes me look like a criminal. And that's not cool. And yes, we can talk about people that took the money and ran. Like with the Melfi City dev. But at the same time, we can't just go and say, oh, everybody pirated it. Okay, and let's think about it like this, guys. All right. Assume that some developers in the very beginning didn't have a lot of money. So maybe they did. Even my boss over there at Fuwa made the argument that, look, some people on YouTube pirated, like, some video software to make their very first videos, which, of course, they made a lot of money off of that, and now they could have the money to pay them back. And, of course, the guy couldn't understand that. How would you like it if I took money from you or took something from you and said I'd pay you back later? And I said, well, at the same time, I'm not a business, right? I'm not a big business. I don't have this big product like with Adobe, right? Adobe has their fees that DP talks about. And a lot of people have pirated Adobe for this, that, and the other. Now, and Seton has said they use Adobe for a lot of things. I don't know if they pay. I don't know. I don't ask. It's none of my business. It's absolutely none of my business whether or not a publisher or a developer or anybody like that pays for Adobe. It's none of my fucking business. But it might happen. It might literally be the case where they might be using an unlicensed version of Adobe. They might be using an unlicensed version of Windows or whatever. It happens. Sometimes people do that. But at the same time, there are people, even in music, I know so many musicians that had pirated Reaper, pirated Pro Tools, pirated VST, What is it called? It used to be called Fruity Loops, and they called it the Visual Studio. Yeah. Like, even I started making my first stuff on, like, a pirated version of that back in the day. Like, way back in the day. So, yeah. A lot of people did. A lot of people did that kind of thing. And, I mean, it is what it is. Not everybody had $304 or $500 for the program, which is literally how much they were trying to charge for the fucking all-feature version of the program. It's like, yeah, you're charging stupid amounts of money. Of course, people are going to pirate it. And that's unfortunate, but it's definitely what happens. We're not saying it's right. We're just saying that it does happen. Now, All right, so on the AVN side of things, assume that maybe said developer started out with some stolen assets, pirated assets, right? Just got them off the internet. I don't even know how. I don't know anything about assets other than what I've been talked to. Other than what a few developers have told me, all right? So I don't know jack shit about pirating assets. I don't even know where you can get them. I don't even know how you use them. I've never used any of these programs. I've never used Unity, Unreal, any of this stuff. That's not something that I ever focused on. Again, I'm more interested in testing things and reviewing things than actually making things. That's not what I'm into. I've written stories and all that kinds of thing. I've told you guys that. You may never ever see them, but they're out there. Like, they're out there somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I like reviewing things. I like covering things, and you guys know that. So when it comes to the technical side of thing, I don't really care. Like, it doesn't bother me. But when it comes to, hold on, let me phrase this right before I sound like I'm talking out of my ass here. But, you know, when this developer, say, gets these assets, right, and they start working on their game, so they go ahead and they say, yeah, I don't really own these assets, but I don't have a lot of money, and I really want to tell the story, and I'm hoping that people like it so that if it does do well, maybe I can actually not only buy the assets I have, but I can buy new assets, and I can buy some music, and I can buy all these other things, right, that would make my story better. So that's what I'm thinking a lot of this might actually be. You know, in the very beginning, a lot of AVN devs may have done them. I'm not saying every one of them did, but I'm saying that some may have, or it may have been a great deal. I mean, again, it's nobody's business, but if it happened, it happened. Now, you know, and the guy was just being completely erratic. He's just not understanding that some people have to start out with what they've got. It sounded to me like a young man that doesn't really understand what it's like to be poor. Honestly. And when I mean poor, I mean paycheck to paycheck. I mean, you don't have a lot of money to do any kind of creative endeavors, right? So they got to use what they've got to use. You know, they don't have money to buy $800 worth of assets because they're trying to figure out where their next meal is going to come from, right? And they've got this idea in their heart, and they're like, you know, I want to get this story out. And we're talking about a story like Chasing Sunsets or Leap of Faith. I don't know what that was like when it first started, but I know that they've developed into beautiful stories, right? And it's just fun stories that you can laugh and cry and just, you know, just really good, fun stories. Like, what the genre should have. Like, it should be known for. Like, my artwork, the artwork that I'm going to be using when you see that article I'm writing, I would say, yeah, I'll say writing because I'm going to add some more to it. It's already 2,900 words, but I'm going to add some more words because I just can't talk about the technicalities enough, especially for these people. But anyway, back to what I'm saying. The art that I was planning on using actually was the big Leap of Faith where he's got the girls and they're in the Hollywood sign, because I think that really just kind of says it all as far as to how the medium has grown. You know, we've gotten to that level where you can have these amazing stories, you know, and these great renders, just, you know, beautiful stuff. And you guys have seen it. You know what I'm talking about. And I want to show that, you know. I want to show that game, the one that actually made me cry, you know, which is hard to believe because we know what it was based on. And you guys watched that video, you know, I kind of broke down a little bit on that. And that's unusual for me, right? But that's because it dealt with a man losing his daughter to suicide. She leapt off the bridge and killed herself. That's hardcore. And he's saying, you know, sometimes life really sucks, but you got to move on. And it was hard for me, you know, to really accept that, you know, because of course he was dealing with the grief where he was talking about her last words and all that kind of thing. And even put a warning up there. He's like, you know, some people may not be able to deal with this, but at the same time, you have to deal with it. Like, I mean, I don't think a person could understand Leap of Faith if they didn't get that scene. And I understand why he decided to take it, you know, like at least put a warning behind it. But I don't think you can play Leap of Faith if you haven't seen that scene. Like, not like that. I don't think you can understand Leap of Faith. I don't think you should play Leap of Faith if you haven't seen that scene. Because we know how impactful that it is and how powerful that is. So if you take that out because somebody might be upset or might not be able to handle the content, you're essentially removing a big part of that novel. And yes, it does deal with a real life event, so that's very hardcore. But it's essential. And it's the reason why Drifty got into making games. And now, of course, he's making the great Euphoria, which is a completely different take on the genre as it offers more RPG elements, which I'm really excited to try out. And of course, Drifty is really good about bringing his games to GOG. He said he's definitely bringing Euphoria over. You don't have to worry about that. So I can't wait to, you know, really buy that game, you know, and actually play that one, because I mean, we already know he's a great writer, so this one's just gonna be another great story, right? It might not be Leap of Faith, but not everything can be. I'm not going in there expecting, like, take Ryu 7, right? Ryukishi 7. In the seventh universe, he's known for Higurashi and Umineko. Higurashi's a very good one, and Umineko's a very good one. They're both completely different stories. He did a very good job on both of those. Sikonia, I've heard, is very good, but I haven't read it. So it's definitely possible to write great stories more than once. I mean, King has done that, you know, looking at Clive Barker and King and Neil Gaiman. So many authors that I like, you know, Warren Ellis's comics, he'll write one good one, he'll write another real good one. Alan Moore, you know, and there's also, what's his name? Old Baldhead himself. I can't think of his name right now. But, yeah, a lot of comics writers and, you know, regular novel writers, you know, they can write good stories more than once. It's not just like, you know, Brian Lee O'Malley got lucky with Scott Pilgrim. I mean, he hasn't been able to write anything on that caliber since, right? Scott Pilgrim was just a breakout hit. And, you know, Humble's doing the comics of it right now. You can get them all for $20 and as well as some other shifty shit. I'm not really, you know, just going crazy about. I don't know if that's more of Brian Lee O'Malley's work, but it didn't look as interesting as Scott Pilgrim did when I first, you know, read it as a young man, way before the movie or anything. But yeah, guys, it's definitely possible, and I hope they do write a, you know, I hope he does write a good story, just as strong as Leap of Faith, but a completely different one, you know? Like the Umineko to the Higurashi, the Sikonia to both of them. You know, you gotta write a different story every time. You can't write the same story. Same thing with Philly. I hope Philly comes out with another. I don't know what he's gonna write about next. He said he's definitely gonna be writing another novel. He just doesn't, I mean, he's got an idea. I don't know what it's gonna be. We'll find out, right? It might take us to the Wild West. Who knows? Like, all right, Cal Pope. Yeah. We'll see. Like, Sheriff, there's only room for one sheriff in this town. Something like that, right? But yeah, guys, that's just how I feel on all that situation as far as, you know, being able to tell these great stories. I think that people need to realize that, you know. Like, this thing was originally going to be about metal. Like, that was my original plan for this one. But that didn't happen because I got into this heated argument. And it wasn't any name calling. You know, I want to be really clear that I'm not judging this person. And I respect any work they've done in the industry, because there's very, very good a chance that some of the games that they worked on, we may have played here and I may have finished. So it would be unfair to say, oh, this person's awful. No, everybody's allowed their opinion. I don't have to agree with it. He's the one that's saying, okay, you can't pirate something even if you plan to pay it back, because he says that's like somebody stealing something and promising that they're going to give it back to you later, or promising that, oh, yeah, I'm going to take your work and... don't worry, you'll make money, or I'll give you money for it later, you know, because obviously there are some definite guys that may have done that. And, you know, my one argument was, all right, if the game doesn't succeed, you know, which is something he asked, I said it would be DOA, which means it wouldn't make any money. So there wouldn't be any kind of payback. It's a loss-loss situation. The developer, publisher lost their software money, but at the same time, the person that stole the software to make the program, they didn't do well either. So nobody made any money off anything. It was just a lose-lose situation. It was bad for both of them. And that's kind of what I want to stress, that, yeah, there's a lot of situations in this where, yes, if somebody does, you know, pirate a software or assets or something like that, and they make a shitty game and it doesn't work and it's awful and it doesn't sell, then, yeah, both people lose. Okay? That's not great, but at the same time, it's not the situation where somebody has used the software, the assets, and they make something that does really well, but because of stubbornness or foolhardiness, they decide that they're not going to pay for the software that they're using. They decide, no, fuck you, I'm not going to use your software. I'm not going to pay you for your software. And if you have enough money to pay for Adobe, like, honestly, you probably should pay for Adobe. I'm saying if you have enough money to do it. And a lot of people don't have enough money to pay that $300 a year fee. That's a lot of money for a yearly license, right, guys? So, if you're using multiple programs, which they are, Inseaton talked about every Adobe product they used. So that's licenses they're paying for, you know, probably for multiple computers, because I don't think you can use the same program on one computer, or excuse me, I don't think you can use the same program on multiple computers. I think you have to pay for each instance. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I believe, that if you use Adobe Photoshop or Lightroom or After Effects or something like that, that you have to pay for each instance that you use on a computer. You can't just say, okay, I've bought Adobe Photoshop and Lightroom and all that, and all these computers have it. I don't think you can do that. I think you have to have a separate license for every machine. So if that's the case, then you're talking about multiple yearly costs of $300 to, you know, because in Seton they're running several rigs. I think there was about 10 rigs they showed in the video that they have, you know, where they showed their studio. They took that off, by the way. Don't know why. But they showed their studio, and, yeah, there was about, I saw about 10 rigs. So each one of them, imagine, has all those programs. Or maybe they just have one computer that has those programs, and they bring their finished work, or their raw work, rather, you know, their raw renders over there to Adobe so they can make sure they're edited properly so everything works. Because you're trying to edit animations and all this other stuff. It's not like you think. You know, they have a 23-step process, and 23 is the bonus step, where they're like, okay, figure out how we're going to pay everybody for our work, and then be like, oh, fuck it, people are going to share it anyway, but have a beer and continue with the next version of the game or whatever. By the way, it's really hard to get anybody to talk to you on there. I was even trying to figure out what the latest version of Mia was. And apparently the itch version is different than the Steam version. So the one that says 1.11 is the latest Steam version. The itch version is 1.02. And I'm like, why didn't you guys just bring over the 1.1 Steam version, right? I mean, it would have made perfect sense. It's like, what's going on over there? Why can't you guys bring everybody the most popular, excuse me, the most recent version with all the bug fixes? I mean, who wants to pay for a game that's got bugs in it? So there's definitely things that developers could work on, you know, and I understand, you know, people have, not everybody can be Superman and do all these things, but it's gonna leave a better opinion of you as a company if you're willing to, you know, make sure everything is top notch, right? If you're like, okay, so this is our Steam version, we're also going to make sure that our itch customers have the same version, and we're going to make sure that our GOG customers have the same version, right? Because the game's going to be on GOG probably tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Monday, I forgot. Well, today, we'll just say today is Sunday, so yeah, I guess it'll be tomorrow. GOG willing. I know how that's a kind of a pun, but that's literally what it's like over at GOG. You say, oh, yep, GOG willing, we'll get this version of the game out, you know, because they have no idea what they're going to do. They might be like, okay, yeah, we're expecting this game to come out and, on Monday, and then GOG's like, you know what, nah, let's release this instead. And you're like, okay. And even the developers are like, what's going on here, guys? And they don't know what's going on either. So it is what it is. It's weird over there. I even had to tell the guys in their server, I said, hey, GOG staff is not even in office right now. Your game isn't even on GOG. And they're like, oh, maybe that's why we haven't got the app ID yet. Yeah, maybe it is. Ha, ha, that's hilarious, right? But this is business, guys. This is the industry. It's all you ever wanted and more, you know? When I was a young boy and I loved playing video games, I said, I want to be a beta tester one day. I want to be a part of the industry one day. I want to talk to developers and publishers and all these cool people that make the games I love. And I'm starting to find out how much hassle is actually involved in all of this. And has been for many, 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 many years now. It doesn't matter whether you're doing adult games or regular games. There's still an amount of hassle. It's just, it's incredible. Oh, man. See, we don't even have Sea of Stars yet, which is the new one from these devs, you know, the Messenger devs. They said, oh, we'll bring it over eventually. Yeah, 2024 comes along. Maybe you'll finally decide to give it to us. Maybe they'll have a nice DLC pack then by then as well, so maybe it'll be okay. Anyway, so I'm fighting with this guy, and I said to him, I said, look, here's what you're really after. And he took it harsh. He didn't respond, but he knew it was true. It didn't get into it. It wasn't a fight. He knew I was right. He knew I was right, what I said. I said to him, look, This isn't about the fact that there may be money laundering. This isn't the fact that there may be stolen assets. This isn't the fact that this guy literally said he wanted all of them put in jail, behind bars. He says that Patreon needs to ban them all. You know what this talk kind of sounds like, guys? And this is what I said to him. It sounds like he doesn't want the genre to exist at all. He doesn't want AVNs to be a thing. He doesn't want Being a Dick, Leap of Faith, Fetish Locator, City of Broken Dreamers, all the games that we have played, he doesn't want them to exist. He doesn't want this to be a market. He's going to do anything in his power to completely consider them criminals, consider them thieves, consider them horrible, because he just doesn't like the content. He likes the Japanese novels and the characters, the way the characters look, which is fine. We love the Japanese novels here. We've played them. We have nothing against waifus at all. I don't like the fact that these guys are gacha-ing for waifus, for games that they say are bad. It's like, why would you spend so much money to get a cute animated character for a game you don't like? Right? Sounds stupid. And it's like, I'm going to pay all this money to get a special character in a bad Street Fighter game, right? Nah, nobody does that. Nobody fucking does that. So, but what I'm saying is, he doesn't want them to exist at all. Period. And I said, all this is the fact that you just don't want them to be a thing. You don't like them, you don't want them, and you want to say any kind of criminal thing that you can possibly say to basically redeem in your mind that these novels are all criminal acts. Every single one of them. No matter who made it, no matter how popular it is, they're all criminal acts. He wants to make every single AVN ever created since the very first one to be a grift for people's money, badly. You know, it's like that guy was I'm going to do an article about this because basically my boss over there at FUA told me it's something I need to address because it's very damaging, and it could lead to some very bad situations like the FTC getting involved and shit like that. But basically, a YouTuber tried to say that these AVNs were money laundering scams for really bullshit reasons. One of them, and I even showed this to AVN fans in the City of Broken Dreamers server, Philly Games server, and, you know, they looked at it and they said, all right, first of all, I've watched 5 minutes of this, and this kid has no clue what he's talking about when it comes to the AVN scene. He says they're low quality, low effort, they don't put a lot of work into the dialogue, and then he says, oh, well, there's too much dialogue. He says, why would you advertise this as a sex game if there's so much dialogue? It's like, wouldn't you want to just go right to the sex? And again, he's messed the boat. Sure, there's sex in these games, but, you know, with Chasing Sunsets is the biggest example. A lot of you guys watched it because you wanted the story. Like, I had a commenter who I've been talking to on BitChute saying, hey, when's this one that you said you were going to get back? Well, when's the one that you said you were going to get back to in October coming back? It's like, instead of doing, he doesn't really like returning to Mia because of the she's your sister vibe, you know. And I'm like, okay. I mean, because it just happened to be the day that I was going to post more Chasing Sunsets. And I didn't do it just for him. We're bringing back Chasing Sunsets because I love that story. I just couldn't do it during the Halloween thing. And if I said otherwise, I apologize. There's a lot going on. I had all these plans. There was a bunch of drama going on. I didn't even get the comics done like I wanted to. And I'm trying to really play catch up with the comics, and then I'm trying to bring back everything I can through the wholesome November, right? So we're going to really just try to play a lot of catch up, and of course we're having a lot of AVNs in December, so there's going to be a lot of really good stuff that happens. It'll be cool. But yeah, I went into the staff and I basically said, all right, so we can cover a couple things, but let's not go into this unprofessionally. Like, I don't want to go in there and say, hey, you guys might be stealing assets, because a dev's going to be like, I've never stolen an asset in my life. When I started this company, we had the money to buy all of our assets. So even if people did do that, it's not me, and to make me look like that is defamation. So you don't want a defamation suit, right? So yeah, you have to be really careful. You don't want to have libel. You don't want to have all these other things. You got to be careful when you're doing a bigger website, right? So I've tried to be very careful because I've mentioned that forum that shall not be named. And I said I've seen some developers on there. I didn't say who. You know, I didn't say everybody. But I said I did see a few on there offering up things, you know. There's a lot of the communities on there. I told you I said I met an editor on there, right? So there's part of the community is on that forum. Okay, we can't get around that. So I don't know what they're doing. All I know is that the games that are being made right now, the popular games, I am assuming that most of the assets for those are paid for. They are definitely making enough money to do that. They're using royalty-free when possible. They're using licensed music when they can afford it. You know, they're doing all they can, right? So it's one of those situations where I don't want to go in there and just assume everybody's up to no good. And it doesn't make me look good. If I'm supposed to promote these things to an audience, like the JVN or the Japanese visual novel or the eroge, whatever you want to call them, to that audience, then I need to be very professional and very clear about what my statement is. So when I talk about some of the more ugly things, I need to be very careful in what I say. I can't be like, oh, this is going on or that's going on. But I will mention there have been accusations of certain things, right? And that's something that might need to be remedied, and maybe clear communication would be good, right? Even if a dev said, hey, look, in the beginning, yeah, maybe we didn't buy all our assets, all right? But we have now done such. We have bought all of our assets. We fixed all that kind of stuff. That's fine. When people first start out, again, they don't have a lot of money. A lot of this is just a hobby project, right? So when they get money and they can actually fund their hobby project and they can actually go a little further, you know, then there you go. And we were even talking about that, the Japanese doujin scene, where you have a lot of RPG maker games. You know, a lot of those assets were probably also not saying, I mean, we're just saying, if this is going on in the AVN scene, to the extent it is, it's definitely going on in that indie doujin scene. And even my boss over there, he said, you know what? He said, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, he would have more experience over there than I do, because I mean, I have some doujin, but I haven't played as much of them as he has. I'm not the doujin guy, right? He would be more into that kind of thing. So he would know. And if that is a thing going on in Japan, and it's a thing going on, I mean, it is what it is. At the end of the day, you're not going to cry over spilled milk. It doesn't do anybody any good to complain about this game or that game maybe having some stolen assets, all right? I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying steal your assets. I'm saying that, you know, it should be understood that not everybody in the world has the money to buy these expensive assets. And it kind of bars people from kind of making their own thing. Because think about it like this, guys. If you're a young, not even young, let's not even use the word young. If you're a green, wet behind the ears, no matter how old you are, but if you're green or wet behind the ears, as far as developing an AVN goes, and you see it and you're like, oh, this looks like it might be easy and kind of fun to do, and it might be a nice way to tell a story, you may not have, you don't already have the money. Or, I mean, I don't know. But I'm just saying that if you get these cheap assets or you get free assets, you probably can't do a really good story with them, right? Like, you're getting, like, really cheap looking, crappy looking assets, right? You're getting really awful looking shit. And people are going to be like, I don't want to read this because it looks terrible. These are all really basic assets and there's nothing really good about them, right? Like, and I'm sure that some of the people started out with maybe these basic assets back in the day. But now, visual novels have a completely different level of quality about them. You know, they have almost high rendering qualities in some ways, right? Because the technology's gotten better. So you don't want to... See, I got it. Ah, ha, ha. I love this game. It's hard, but it's fun. This is actually funner than the main game because you didn't die quite so much. But I like to see, you know, we have these new software and technology. We have the ability to make really good fucking novels, right? Really good high quality movies. When I'm talking about movies, I'm talking about animations, real high quality renders, you know, looking like right out of cyberpunk. You know, not everybody has that kind of money to do that, but some do. And we also had to talk about the number of games being made, even though they're not really technically, you know, Illusion's not cool with it, but they're being made in Honey Select, right? Like Harem Hotel. Harem Hotel is big. It's a massive anime game. I won't be playing it here. Okay? It's pretty much free. And they've done up to version 17, right? And I read one of the staff's reviews for it, and he said, you know, I don't think I'm really good at it as far as reviewing things. And I looked at his review, and it could use a little bit of work. I mean, I agree. But he wasn't very happy about it, and I don't think he really understood the game, but... I don't know, because I haven't played it myself. He tried to say, you know, the MC was just a self-insert, which a lot of times they are, but it's not necessarily about him. It's about what he gets into. I mean, obviously, let's look at the MCs for a couple of these games. Being a dick, we all know he's not necessarily self-insert. He's actually a character. Because he's a fighter, right? He trained with his dad, UFC and all that, and we see him with his girlfriend. He's got a backstory. He's got a long backstory, especially in 8.5, where you have the old girlfriend. So he's got a lot of stuff to tell. We learned about his mother, all that kind of stuff. So he's not just, hey, this is you. We're like, no, this is my character, you know? You just get to put the name in, right? But he's still going to be the character that Dr. Pinkcake created, right? Then we got Leap of Faith. Now, Leap of Faith, the main character there, he was a Sora worker, right? And obviously he has a backstory about, you know, in high school and the girl next door and all the kind of stuff that was going on with them. And he's got a lot of backstory. Most of his story is backstory, especially the ex-wife, or the ex-girlfriend, you know, who happened to be the federal agent and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's a huge story. And his story actually kind of plays a role into the new one, Euphoria. We might even meet him in Euphoria, maybe for a little bit. I don't know. But I will say... that he's not just your regular self-insert character. And then we can look at the character from Fetish Locator. Now, Fetish Locator, you might think, oh, well, he's more of a self-insert. But you're wrong, because he has his own ambitions set for Lydia, and he's got the girlfriend, not the girlfriend, but the girl next door kind of character. You know, they've been friends for years, and it's not just, hey, this is you and these are these girls. It's like, no, this is his past and backstory. This is a character that you get to play as, that you're seeing his story, but it's not just you. We're not doing Persona, is it 4 where the guy, was it Persona 5, the main character was you, Y-U. So there's a lot going on with these characters. They try to build a backstory so it's not just a, oh, this is you, right? Even the Japanese don't really do that quite so well. Because, like, look at Starless. I mean, that's an older example, but Starless, our main man doesn't really have a story, right? Our main man is just literally, it could be you. Because, I mean, okay, yeah, he likes cars. He likes fast cars, and any young man can like fast cars, right? Like, fast cars are cool. Like, cool muscle cars, right? That's what his thing was. And he doesn't like really fucked up shit. Well, yeah, a lot of us can say we don't really like fucked up shit. But does that give him any kind of a past or a backstory? No! The woman that he loved, she has more of a backstory because of her brother's surgery. Which we still don't know how that worked, by the way. We assume that she was able to get him a heart transplant, or the mistress was able to get him a heart transplant in her hospital. But we don't ever have any confirmation of that. Matter of fact, we don't even hear anything about the brother for the rest of the fucking game. I mean, it's literally just a, what is that? I can't remember the name of that. It's a, like I said, the term escapes me. But it's just one of those stupid things to make a plot point, right? That's literally all it is. It doesn't matter. It's just a plot point. Same thing with the vase that smashes. That's just a plot point. There's nothing really important on that. But yeah. It's, I mean, I could talk about these all day. You know that. But I really want to show people again that there's a lot more here than just your basic self-insert character. And for several Aerogang. And I'm not saying anything against that. Because not all we know for sure that there are several MCs that have their own fucking backstory and... They're quite complex, like the MC from Gore Screaming Show. He's got a backstory. We learn about it to some horrifying extent, right? But he definitely has one. So he's not an MC that, oh, that's you. No, that's the character. You're not you in that game. You're playing the role of him. So, I mean, it's... let's see here. I'm trying to go through and think. Maybe How to Live a Healthy Hentai Lifestyle has that kind of self-insert. He feels like he's more self-insert. Because there's really not much known about him other than he went to this town, right? So, I mean, it's more about the girls. It's more about the ladies of the game, right? So it's not really so much about him. He could be a self-insert. And knowing Clock Up, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm talking about the softer side of Clock Up, not the hardcore side, which surprisingly has a lot more depth in storytelling as far as, things are concerned. I mean, even look at Aerogay. We do know a lot about that particular protagonist, that MC protagonist, whatever you want to call them. We used to call them protagonists back in the day, or protag. I don't, now they call them MC, main character. But that particular character in Aerogay, he is an obsessed Aerogay fan. Like, he absolutely loves it and plays it constantly, right? And he wants to work for an Aerogay studio. And, of course... we see his masturbation habits and all kinds of other crazy shit, right? And we start to kind of learn what kind of person he is. He's not necessarily a self-insert, because he might be getting off to some things that I definitely do not get off to. That's not interesting. By the way, that game he was playing is actually a real Clock Up game. So, like, there's a full game based on that. And I'm good with not seeing it. I don't know about you guys, but Elf, Fuda, Girls, not my thing. Yeah. See, I'm trying to get that one little thing. Oh, we got it. Ah, great. But anyway, yeah, we could talk about anime, excuse me, we could talk about eroge protagonists for years, you know. I'm not going to do that. I could talk about AVN for years. We're not going to do that. I hope I haven't bored you guys with this one, honestly. But I just wanted to kind of get my thoughts out and express how difficult it is to do what I'm doing. I am essentially trying to bring a whole section of visual novels to a whole different section of visual novels that may not be so cool with, like, they're warring states, okay? I'm basically taking an army that is against, I'm taking this army, right? That, okay, I'm trying to map this out for you guys. Imagine you got China and Russia and they're going at it. So basically what I'm trying to do is make peace between China and Russia because they're fighting each other, right? And they're about to go to nukes. And I'm like, okay, we don't need to go to nukes, guys. We can figure this out. So I'm basically trying to go over here and build a bridge between the Chinese and the Russians. And I'm trying to be like, okay. So these Russians, yeah, you guys, like, there's some things that you did that aren't so great. That's all right. And there's some things that the Chinese did that you may not be okay with either, right? But at the same time, you guys have to kind of just, like, work this shit out, right? You have to not fucking kill each other. You need to kind of work your shit out so that you can kind of benefit from each other, right? Like, you might have more trade between China and Russia, which would be great. That would boost both economies. That boosts the Chinese economy and the Russian economy. So that's a good thing on both ends. They would have more goods and imported goods and things like that. It would be better for both countries, right? Be an awesome thing. So we don't need China and Russia at each other's throats, right? So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm basically trying to align China and Russia. I'm basically trying to take these visual novel, the Japanese weebs, let's just call them what it is, and the AVN nerds, right? The AVN fans, whatever you want to call us. And we're bringing them, trying to at least bring them to a bridge where they can, like, somebody can hold out their hand and say, you know what? It's okay. You're gonna survive. It's not that bad. I promise. If you just give us a try, we won't bite. And the AVN people, you know, some of them are like, I promise they're not all that bad. Not all the girls look underage or anything. Just, you know, try some of these out. They're not going to bite. They're okay. Give them a shot. So we're trying to make an olive branch between these two warring states because that's literally what it's been. I have heard the most horrible things from, you know, from mainly the weeb side. You know, a lot of the AVN guys that I've talked to, they're not, as you could expect, they're not into the anime thing so much, right? A lot of things that I have noticed from at least the server I was in, I'm not saying all servers are like this. I haven't been in many servers. Some of them are very quiet. But the server that I've been in, you know, Philly server, you know, they'll post pictures of real women, you know, like, what do you call them, thoughts now, I don't know, but anyway, they'll post the photos of the real women in photo shoots and things like that, and be like, oh, that's hot, you know, because a lot of those guys weren't really around for a lot of that, a lot of these guys really weren't around for that anime wave. Some of these guys are older, and if they did see anime, it wasn't something they were into as much. I'm not saying they didn't love it, they just didn't love it. They weren't spending hundreds of or thousands of dollars to get an anime waifu character, right? They were like, oh, hey, remember so-and-so in that movie? Like, don't you think she looked hot? And they're like, oh, look at this character. I want to try to do a character that looks like so-and-so from this movie or from this TV show. You know, stuff I grew up with and women I thought were hot back in the day, right? Stuff that I thought was really hot when I was young. I mean, a lot of times it sounds like nostalgia, and because it really is, you know, it's a lot of that. When we were playing through Sexbot, there was like constant nostalgia, right? The 80s and the Futurama references and all that kind of thing. Yeah, it's fun. I grew up a little bit in the 80s. I was born in 85, so I had 5 years in the 80s. That's not that much, but, you know, I did live in the 80s, and I lived through all of the 90s. So, yeah, I know a lot of this stuff. I was around when a lot of this stuff was happening. You know, you would see some of these 80s movies on TV, right? It's not like I hadn't had any exposure to the 80s. I remember when MASH was syndicated, where, you know, after they took it off and started replaying it every night. And you'd hear MASH. I used to have a babysitter, and every night the MASH theme would come on. You know, and it was time for me to go to bed about that time. That's when my babysitter would tell me to go to sleep. I didn't have any issues with my babysitter either. It was the 90s. It was the 80s, 90s, completely different time, guys. And some of the shit that goes on now just wasn't a thing. Because my mother was always doing jazzercise and stuff like that. That was her thing. She's always... My mother tried to keep in shape. For real. She was going to college and, you know, she had me. So, of course, I was... a lot of babysitters. I had a lot of different, my grandmother raised me pretty much, and then of course there were different babysitters, but that's what it was. So I learned values and morals from my grandmother, because my grandmother was, you know, you better straighten up and fly right, buddy. You know, that's what I used to get. You're so bad. You're a brat. Like I was a problem child. There was actually a movie, I don't think they'll ever bring it back, but there used to be a whole series of movies called Problem Child, and if you don't believe me, you can go check it out. There's about maybe three or four of them, actually, and it was about this kid that was just absolutely fucking crazy. Like, he did awful shit, right? Like, stuff that you probably can't even put on television anymore. Not the hardcore, but you know what I mean. Just like, oh my god, it's crazy. So yeah, like, I remember that kind of stuff. I remember all these 80s and 90s things, and that's why this genre really sticks with me. Because I can, like, even DP, you know, we're about the same age. And I asked Philly and the guys, I'm like, well, how old is everybody here? And they said, well, how old are you? I said, well, I'm 38, you know, going to be, I mean, I'm hitting my 40s. And they're like, oh, well, you're about the same age as everybody else here, man. You're in a good place. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And a lot of the guys, they just like to have fun, you know, talk about memes. Well, they post memes, of course, and talk about different things like food and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, there's the novel that's being worked on, but Philly likes spending time with the guys and his Patreon people, you know? It's not one of those, this is a business thing. It's like, no, these are my fans. These are people that like my work, and they, you know... I want to talk to them and, you know, hang out and have a good time and all that. And that's cool, right? Because that's, I mean, you've got a whole family of people that just really enjoy your work. And they enjoy other AVNs, you know, they promote other AVNs. They have a whole section where they promote AVN. And I love it, you know, because it highlights so many people to an audience that's actually into them, right? It's like, well, play this, try this one. And it's other AVN people recommending AVNs, just like with the visual novels. Hey guys, check out Extravaganza. Like, if we ever get it translated or localized, which will probably be, I don't know, never. It's a great game, right? I mean, it's got some really crazy scenes, I'm sure. But yeah, it's a really good one from Black Sick. So, then we have, hey, check out, I don't know, Return of Nemea or some other new game that's out. You know, The Entrepreneur, which is one I'd like to play that looks really cool. Try that one. This one's really good. And they'll actually say, I've played a little bit of it. I like what I've played. And or I finished the first season and I loved it. The renders were good. The story was good. You know, these are people recommending these games to each other. And it's a great thing. It's what it should be. But, you know, you have these warring factions, and it's really hard, you know, for me to even get that kind of camaraderie where people would be like, hey, yeah, it's an AVN, but it's actually really good. Like, even those guys, they know about being a dick, right? Like, they know it because it's fucking, like, notorious. And in the best way, it's known. People know being a dick is the big game. They know that. They know it's a goat. Alright? So, there's really nothing you can actually do to, you know, try to say... I mean, there's nothing you can really do to say, like, oh, you haven't played that. Because they know about being a dick. They know it's a big game. They don't like the premise of it because they're not into the college thing. Some of them are in college and they don't view college like that. But of course, it's a fantasy. It's not going to be like your boring college. It's a fantasy. Now, a lot of these guys weren't around when the soft porn was out. It's the soft porn. The soft core was out, right? Not soft porn. Soft porn was before my time. That's the first adult game that ever came out. Soft porn adventure. But, and they weren't like, they weren't around for the HBO After Dark and all that kind of thing. They weren't around for the Skinamax. They weren't around for all that stuff. So they don't really get this kind of genre, which is influenced a lot by that. It's not fine. I mean, it was a different time. I remember when Howard Stern had Son of the Beach, which was a fucking... it was a parody Baywatch that was a little bit more vulgar, right? So there was a lot of stuff like that going on. It was a much different time. And I've said that several times. I know you want Grandpa Grimm to tell you about the 90s and the 80s. Can you tell me about the 90s, Grandpa Grimm? I don't like the 2020s. Well, I don't either. But you know what? We got the AVNs and we got the fun games and the waifus and the silicone dolls and all that kind of thing. So it's gonna be all right. And you know, I've talked to these guys, and these guys say straight up, I'm black-pilled, but I'm not a doomer. I'm like, okay, that's good. That's a good thing. I'm gonna clap my hands. Let's clap our hands. That means he's in the loneliest desert, but he hasn't fallen into the quicksand, right? He's like, okay, I understand things are shit, but there's no reason to be, like, a bump on a log or whatever. A stick in the mud. Stick in the mud. There you go. There's no reason to be a stick in the mud about it. So I'm just going to do my thing, have fun, enjoy life, hit the grind, you know, because a lot of these guys, one of them said they were on Sigma Male Grind Set, and that's fine. Like, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. A lot of them, though, they're Sigma Male grind setting these damn gotcha waifus. And at the end of the day, TFM said you can't save them all. And look, if that's what gives them some fucking meaning, I'm fine with it, right? Like, I can't do... I don't know what to do. Like, I can't fix everything. You know, sometimes things just have to fall apart. And sometimes things just maybe get better. And maybe they don't. And it's not for me to try to change. And you know, what was it? The salvation prayer, whatever. Just like, God accept... It's like the things... God help me to accept the things I cannot change. And to change the things I can. And give me the wisdom to know the difference, right? So, I mean, I'm not an addict, but my I'm not an addict or a alcoholic or anything, but my father was an alcoholic, so a lot of times I would attend AA meetings with him, yeah, and I also attend some Al-Anon meetings as well, which was for, you know, my mother, of course, so I had to actually go in through those, and my father, he sat through a lot of those. He had a gold chip and everything else, and it's, I mean, he still relapsed. I mean, if you're gonna drink, you're gonna drink, right? But yeah, I still remember all those things, and that's a really good fucking, I mean, it's a good prayer in general. It's like, give me the wisdom to accept the things I can't change, and to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? That's all it is. And I can't change certain things. I cannot fix the problems that's going on with these young men. I can't do it. I know they're trying. I know they're coping. And I mean not in a fucking trolling way. I mean they're literally coping with this situation. And I think a lot of people really need to back down a little bit on the cope thing. Because a lot of people are coping in the most reasonable sense of it. Where they're not like, oh, you're cope. It's like, no, it's like a lot of people are struggling right now. Things are really rough in society right now. And a lot of people are coping and dealing with it the best way they can. Adapting like human beings are supposed to do to their surroundings. Okay? So that's why we have the things we have. So if a guy's like, I got a doll, and you're like, oh, you're a cope, it's like, absolutely, I'm coping with the situation, but that's what works for me. Like, that's what I love, that's what works for me, this is how I'm dealing with my situation, and the things may not change for me. I may not want to be in a relationship ever again because of, you know, things I've went through, or maybe I'm just done with it. There's a lot of reasons. Maybe I'm just older, I don't care, and this is how I'm going to deal with things, right? And a lot of people don't understand that. It's something that happens with experience and age. You know, one time I was in a conversation and I was told that I didn't really have any experience with a lot of different things, and that's not true. You know, when I was a young man, I helped out on the farm because we had all that situation. We had a garden, great big garden. We had horse stables and things. I had to clean the horse stables every time when I get home from school. I'd have to go clean the horse stables, you know, and the old man would have his tractor and everything else. And I did all that kind of thing, you know. I cleared out brush, and we'd burn brush, you know, because we had to clear land. I've had to help clear land before. That was a big deal. You know, the place that I used to live, it was all forest. It had to be cleaned out. And once it got all cleaned out and cleared out, then we put our place down and everything else and started building a home for ourselves, right? And there was a lot of work involved in that. A lot of work involved in that. I mean, it was just how it was. A lot of people say, oh no, you just what? Did I just stay in the house and play? I did a lot of playing video games, but I didn't get a lot of time. That's one thing I even told Drex. I didn't get a lot of time to play video games, you know? I'd maybe get a little bit of time every now and again. Especially in school nights, you know, it was, nah. But I would get some time on the weekends and stuff like that, and maybe get on the computer a little bit every now and again, but I just got a little bit of time. And that was all it was, guys. It wasn't like it is today, and that's because I'm an older man, I can make decisions for myself, and after working hours of dealing with BS and young men that don't know how to act like grown adults. I'm not talking about the guy I argued with. I'm talking about another gentleman at work today who's young. He's a young guy, but he's grown enough to make his... He's grown enough to be able to just... I don't know. Maybe he's not. See, they keep saying we're going to war, right? And I said, if this is the kind of young men that we have going to war, again, we're fucked. There's no way. The X country's gonna win. It's just, that's it. It's over. I just don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. And TFM says we don't deserve to win. We don't deserve to win. He said that to me in an email once. He says we're not gonna win, nor do we deserve to. And I agree with him. He said right now the way the military is looking, I don't care how they try to put anime waifus on their planes or whatever they do, they're not going to fucking win. You've got some guys out there that may have some balls, and maybe those guys will be able to handle it. But we've got some really coddled guys, and I mean, that's not their fault. That's the situation. That's not the situation. That's the environment they're around. That's what's got them coddled. The environment is different. They're going to be worried about how well they look on the battlefield. Oh, am I a muscle Chad yet? Oh, look at me. You know, stuff like that. Just really stupid crap. They'll be trying to take pictures of them, just like the women were doing in the Ukraine, where the one actually took pictures of herself on an app and had a missile lock into her position, and it just fucking came in and killed everybody because she was like, oh, I gotta take a selfie. Last selfie of your life, lady. Just crazy. So yeah, I think I'm actually gonna beat this guy now. Yep. I did it. So that was the end of that DLC. I think I played the messenger itself on the channel, but okay. I don't know. I can't remember what happened. Let me see. I will return. That takes care of that. So yeah, he ran away. So are they going to do another messenger? I think they said that it's a possibility. But now that they got Sea of Stars, you know, which is supposed to connect to the messenger, believe it or not, and they're going to be building the DLC that connects to it. By the way, the game itself, even though it's considered, according to the Golden Joysticks, to be Game of the Year, as far as indie games are concerned, it is considered to be, by many JRPG players, a 6 out of 10. Not very good. That means it looks good, but the story's not that great, and I didn't think it would be all that amazing. You know, you're talking about fucking people like that did Lightning in a Bottle shit. When we're talking about Chrono Trigger, when we're talking about Final Fantasy VII, when we're talking about Xenogears, we're talking about Golden Era Square, that was fucking Lightning in a Bottle. That was an amazing time to be a RPG gamer. And you think, you've got a bunch of guys that are trying to recapture that without any of the experience or what went into that. Like, obviously there was a lot of reading and research and all that sort of thing that went into that story. So the only thing they can really do is develop something that's either derivative or not as great, you know? And I think that's what it was. It looked nice, but it wasn't that good as far as the story. And even when Z-Boyd tried to do it, Z-Boyd did Cosmic Star Heroine, which was, we're going to make Chrono Trigger. We're going to make something cool like that. And the battle system was nice. It got really boring after a while, and that last boss was a fucking bitch, and I had to use cheats to actually finish that stupid game. But, yeah, that game didn't have it. It was fun, but it wasn't Chrono Trigger, right? So, even when you talk about Classic Square with, like, Super Mario RPG, which found its way on the internet, I'm talking about the remake. Yes, the remake found its way online, because of course it did. But it's not going to cost Nintendo any sales. They're not going to freak out. Oh my god! No. Dude. You guys are printing money. You're printing money. You don't know you're printing money, but you're printing money. As soon as this fucking game comes out, it's going to just be bought to hell. Because everybody wants to go back and re-experience that one moment of their childhood, which I very, very fondly remember. Because that's my game, right? Fucking Super Mario RPG. I cannot believe it's been remade. I freaked out, and I'm like, well, I'll never be able to play it. But then, you know, of course, emulators and things. And I'm like, oh, yes, finally. I might actually be able to enjoy this nostalgia once again. You know, before they put me in the grave, you know, or whatever. However they're going to do it. But, yeah, I want to enjoy that fucking game again because it is fantastic. And they apparently have captured it very well in this remake. So I hope that it's everything I want and more. Oh, man. Let's see. Botanist. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful plant. A seed. I forgot. And that's it. I must admit I'll miss the beach. That's not up to me. Well, the adventure continues sometime later. So there you go, guys. That's it. We're not going to go into this right now. But at any rate, oh god, that's a weird one to leave off on, right? No, it's not an adult game. It's Postal. Like, seriously, watch. See? It's Postal. That's the Postal dude. Brain damaged. Yeah. But, alright, guys. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I guess I'll see you guys next time on Grim Rants into the Heavens, when I got more to rant about. Later.